Stephen reminded me that I'd left somebody out in introducing the new members. It's a young lady that was baptized last Sunday, but that could not be here today. And as I stated with Austin, you could not be here when I present you, but you got to be here when you officially join. And so I'm going to just talk to you a little bit this morning about a young lady named Bree McCabe. We watched her get baptized last Sunday. She was invited by Cece Huffman. Thank you, Cece. And she's discipled by Jamie Spate in the youth discipleship. She couldn't be here today, but she'll be here next Sunday to join. Bree received Christ on August 2nd, 2024, while listening to a Sunday morning message. And she'd been uncertain of her salvation up to that point, but has all full confidence today. Our youth group was instrumental in her growth and saving faith in Christ. And, of course, her being discipled and meeting with Jamie was critical. She wants to be part of our Bible-believing church. And she states, one day raise her family here. And I thought that was kind of cute that she said that. I say this not to embarrass her. If she was standing here, I would have said this, but not to embarrass her. But she wrote in her application that she was very concerned as a lost person about her foul mouth. And she was embarrassed by it. And she said there were times when she tried to stop. But when she got saved, she said it just seemed to just go away, just melt away. And you know, when you get saved and the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence inside your mortal body, you have the power to overcome sins that so easily beset you if you just trust the Lord. And you know, I might have forgotten to present her this morning, but she fits in perfectly into this message that I'm going to give right now. So you got a study sheet. We're going to take a break from Revelation today because of everything that's going on. So there's a half-page study sheet in your bulletin. But this is a very unusual and special Sunday. It's really a church family day, as it were. And I remember this happening one other time in the past. It might have happened more than once, but I just remember one time where we had a lot of baptisms. We have new members, introduction, and so it didn't leave a lot of time for a lot of other things to happen. And so you're going to witness a rarity today, and I'm going to preach the shortest message of my life. And so we're going to have t-shirts printed. You're going to be able to say, I was there. I saw it happen. I know it is possible. And you laugh now, because that's the last laugh you're going to get today. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord, you do give us power over sins that easily beset us. Some things, they last a lifetime. And causes us to draw closer to you because we need you. I'm glad we sang those songs today. It reminded me so much about how we do have to turn our eyes upon you. Lord, this message today is really, it is short, but it's really important. It's been on my heart for a long time. It's been part of my devotions many, many times. And so, Lord, I pray that you give me the ability to stay within a time frame, but to not shortchange what you want to say to this church today. This isn't filler. There's a reason for these things to happen today. So I pray that this would touch every heart here and whatever people have need of today. This would minister to their soul. I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God is at work in many ways here at our church. Think about this. We've had so far, year-to-date salvation professions, measurable. This is not just some random amount, but we've had 123 men, women, boys, and girls make salvation professions since January 1st this year. That's an average of 11 per month, over 11 per month. That's a record. And you know, I'm careful about numbers when it comes to attendance and professions, because I don't want it to make it about numbers. It can't be about that. If it is, then these numbers really are for naught. But those numbers, that 123, they represent a soul, a human being. And something took place. Did they all get saved? For real, I don't know. But something happened in their heart. And that's incredible. 12 new member candidates were introduced today. And we've made up. We sent out, 3 years ago, we sent out a church. And ultimately, with men, women, boys, and girls, we it was closer to 170. The day we sent them out, there were 154 people, family members, that we sent out 7 miles away up in Greentown to begin a work up there, and they're doing great. And so, I mean, it's incredible when you think about that. Folks, we introduced today, and throughout this year, I think we have a record number of people join our church this year, so we've made up pretty much for all the people we sent out 3 years ago. Pretty much. We're back in the same situation again, nowhere to sit, nowhere to park. We've got people in the overflow room. I know we have about 50 people over there each Sunday. I don't know how many are there today. But we're going to come to the place where this is going to have to happen again. Scriptural baptisms last Sunday and today. What, 14, 15 altogether? Yeah. And this year we'll set a record on those. And again, it's not, well, these numbers, they represent people, folks. People that are important to God. And everything else going on around here. One-on-one discipleship connections, hundreds of connections, people meeting each week. Missions work, the training up of leaders, a host of ministries that bless people. Hey, and on top of it all, we're debt-free. We haven't owed any money since 2019. We paid January 1, 2019. We were debt-free. We have nice facilities, good-hearted people and guests. We're moving forward. And soon, we're going to have to thin out the crowd again. We decided a long time ago as a church that this building, it's funny because this room is kind of odd because I'm at 180 degrees. I got to look over here, you know, and kind of go back and forth. But the room was meant to be doubled this size. That's why that green space is back here. And a long time ago, we decided we weren't going to do that phase three and have a big auditorium. That what we were going to do instead is just multiply churches. Now, we always set ourselves to multiply churches. But when I did the math a long time ago, when we started this work, I thought we'd need at least 800 seats in order to multiply churches in our area. And we found out that wasn't the case. We didn't need that. You guys remember, those of you that were here, we all agreed that we were going to do that and we weren't going to add on to this building. It's just going to remain this size, and when we're going to fill it back up and then cut people out and send more out. And we're already coming to that place. And next year in our vision meeting, next year, which is what, you know, next month. I mean, it's the 30th today, but tomorrow not so. So in January when we have our annual vision meeting, we're going to talk about these things in great detail. But think about this, with all the new people that are here in the process of being discipled and trained, we're not going to be able to send out another 150 plus folks like we did before. We'd like to, but folks aren't dialed in enough about the plan to multiply. And we can't leave ourselves without servants, without workers, without very trained people. And so we're not looking at that. And remember, we did this before with GBC, Greentown Baptist Church, but many of those folks, I mean, the vast majority of them were very mature in following our multiplication through one-on-one discipleship plan. Many of them were around from the very get-go. And they know over there what to do and how to do it. And that's why even though their church is 3 years old, they're behaving more like a very mature church of many, many years, and they're already multiplying. Next year, they'll send out a church, and they'll end up having to send out a church in their local area again. So this is happening, folks. And it's a testimony to their solid growth. The same thing's happening with them, because this plan, it's this plan. And it works. So we don't have the ability to send out 150 folks like before, and yet, so what are we going to do for space? So instead, we're going to need to focus on sending out more smaller churches, which means we'll need to be ready and willing to grow and mature by faith. And that means it's going to be much more challenging. Boy, it's one thing to send out, and listen, nothing... that's still a lot of work. But it's one thing to send out an instant church and buy them property and have it renovated and it's a turnkey. Well, that's nice. That's probably not going to happen that way. So it's going to be more challenging. It's going to be harder work. And it's not going to be for the faint of heart. It's going to take an extra measure of faith. And you see, in order for God, in order for Him to continue, we must respond by faith. So would you turn to Genesis chapter 12? Genesis chapter 12. How's my voice? Is it like fingernails on a chalkboard? Young people, what's a chalkboard? Yeah. Do you know what a phone book is? Yeah, you don't know that either, huh? Genesis 12. Genesis 12 is the call of a man named Abram, who would later become Abraham. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of multitudes that have multiplied. And Abram, or Abraham, we're going to read his call, and he is in the lineage of Eber. You can read back in chapter 11 and read about that. He's in the lineage of Eber, a man whose really name is where the word Hebrew comes from. Hebrew. And Eber, his name, it means Hebrew, it means from yonder, not from this place. From a place, it literally means from beyond. This man's call, he's a man from beyond. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Get thee out. Listen, at this time in history, it is very likely, now I think more, but they believe at this time in history, after the flood, after the scattering of the people in Babel, and at the Tower of Babel throughout the earth, that there's between 100 and 200 million people on planet Earth at this time. I tend to think more in the billion range, but that's just me. But let's say, conservatively, 100 million people. And he picks this guy from beyond. Not from this place. He says, get thee out of thy country. Leave your family, your father's house, your mother's house, and I want you to go to land that I'm going to show you of. So he doesn't even know what land that is. He has no idea. Listen, you remember the prophet Elijah when he was in his scraps with Jezebel and some other things going on there. And he had some fear in his heart, and God reminded him to encourage him. Elijah, there are 7,000 men of like faith who've not bowed the knee to Baal that I've got hidden in caves all around you. And I know he said that to Elijah to encourage him so that he knew he wasn't alone, but I believe it was more than that. I believe it was also because if he wasn't going to exercise enough faith to press forward, that God had other people that could do the job for him. But Elijah moved forward. Now again, I wonder at the time of Abram, was he the only one out of 100 million, 200 million people that God could count on? Was he? Look, I'm not making stuff up and adding things to the Bible. I'm just saying. Could God have asked other people and they said no? Could he have? I guess he could have. But this guy said, yes, look, in verse 4. So Abram, what? Departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So he got up and did something about it. How did he know it was God? There was no Bible at this time. All he would have had was the spoken oral testimonies that were passed on from generation to generation. From Adam to Noah, and then to Noah's sons, and then on, and to the plains of Shinar. That's all he would have had. How did he know it was God? We know sacrifices had been going on all along. We know there were people that loved God all along. God always has a remnant. God could trust this guy, but he still had to exercise his own free will and respond. Look over in Genesis chapter 22 and keep that in mind, his call in mind. Oh yeah, this is a familiar story. Chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things, after the events of chapter 21, that God did tempt Abraham. And if you read in Hebrews 11, the word tempt is to test or to try, to prove him. And wasn't that enough? Wasn't it enough that I got up and left my country? Listen, God is always in the business of trying your heart, Christian. Do you have like faith as Abraham? If you do, throughout your Christian life, he's going to be trying you, proving you, not to hurt you, not to be like, oh, I'm not sure that I trust you, but to prove that you trust him. Giving you opportunities to prove that you trust him. He's going to keep giving. Right now, I know something in this room. Right now, every single person, starting over here with Todd, working all our way over here to Duger and his family, all the way over to our guests over here, I know God is in the business right now of proving you about something. Something in your life. Everybody here, everybody watching, everybody in the overflow room, God is at work doing this right now. Abraham, now he's now Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. It's the very first mention of any form of the word love in the Bible. And it's connected with a father that's going to give his only son as a sacrifice. And get thee into the land of Moriah, another place. But this is different. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What, after all this? After all this with my only son? After everything with Hagar and what happened with my wife Sarah, and after all this, Sarah having a baby in her old age, and after all this, and I'm going to go offer him up a sacrifice? Listen, you know what he believed? Hebrews 11 says he believed that he was going to absolutely do it and that God was going to raise that boy up from the dead. That's what Hebrews 11 says. That's the kind of faith he had. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took off on a journey very next day. Early in the morning. Not in the morning. He didn't have to ponder anything. He wasn't familiar with where he was going again. He was only obeying God's word, and he believed God over his own human reasoning. And if you look in here, you look down in verse 5 and you see a word worship. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He believed God was going to raise him up from the dead because he knew he was going to kill the boy. And that's the very first time worship shows up in the Bible. Oh, we don't know what worship really is, folks. We think it's just singing. And it can be. But worship is trusting God and believing him when it defies all human reasoning and being fully in and fully willing to follow him and doing exactly what he says. That's the definition of worship. Sometimes it can happen when you're singing, a sacrifice. Sometimes you don't feel like singing. And you'll sing today. I wanted to sing so loud today, but I'm saving it for you right now. This is no joke, folks. Listen, look at what happened as a result. You want to give you some examples of what happened as a result? Okay, let's start right here again, and we'll just start working our way through. Everybody here, were a testimony to what he just did. Because it was through him, this man from beyond, that Jesus Christ would come. It was through his lineage that Jesus would come. And if he said no, would God have found a different way? Or would God have been done with this plan here? I don't know. I believe he would have found a different way. I don't know, but he didn't have to because he did what was right. But we're all here. Those of you watching, we're all here as a result of this choice. Because it was through his lineage that our Savior Jesus Christ would be born into the world. Listen, faith or the lack of faith, either way, Great faith or little faith or no faith is contagious to others. You back down, you back out, it's contagious. Or if you step out, it's contagious. I know as a young man, as a young believer, when I got saved, I watched people do things that were not possible. I knew in my mind, I'm like, that is crazy. That's not possible. That's not possible. My friend said to me, I'm not saved that long. He says, look, there's a lot of campers down at Atwood Lake. This is before they did these weird so-called Christian stuff down there. And maybe you went to that and had fun, so I'm not dissing on you, but whatever. And he got a trailer, flatbed trailer. Jake did this, Marilyn. And he said, I'm going to pull that flatbed down there. And he said, we're going to have Sunday church services there before our church service starts, and we're going to do some evening services. And he says, and you're going to come and give your testimony. I'm like, that's insane. How many of you, well, yeah, I'm going to really look forward to doing that. I'm glad he did that. Man, we saw lots of people get saved. I'm probably here today because I was screaming and yelling off that platform. Probably lost my voice as a result of it too. I'm not saying I'm some kind of hero. I'm saying somebody else had the idea and basically made me go. Listen, consider the faith of Noah or Sarah or Jacob or Joseph or Moses or Rahab or David. All of them. Faith is contagious. Just think how your faith can affect the decisions of others for good or bad if you don't have any. It says, I printed this out on your study sheet, and these all, having obtained a good report through what? Received not the promise. They didn't see Jesus Christ. This is from Hebrews 11. God having provided some better thing for us, that's Jesus, that they without us should not be made perfect. So their faith is made perfect in our faith in Christ. So we must all come to these places in our life where we have Abraham moments. What are you going to do? What will you do when you come to that place? Everybody in here, no one is left out. Everyone in here is included. Right now, what is it right now in your life? And you need to trust God for something. What are you going to do? You're going to fold up like a cheap suit, throw in the towel, wave the white flag, call it quits, wait for a better offer? I remember my neighbor, Brent Metzger, down in Strasbourg. And I was called into the ministry, and I'd quit my good job, and I'd witnessed to my neighbor for years, and he was a good guy and a leader in the community down in Strasbourg, so it was nice for me to be, I was an outsider. You know, unless you're born in Strasbourg, you're an outsider. And he helped bridge some gaps for us, didn't he, Linda? And so he was my banker. And so long story short, we entered the ministry, and we knew we weren't going to make the money that we made, and so I refinanced our home loan so that it could lower the payments. And I didn't have to go into the bank. He just walked over the loan application, my house, and we talked, and then I filled it out and sent it back over to him. And he calls me up at night, and he says, the night I gave it to him, and he says, hey, Tom, he goes, you filled this whole thing out, but you didn't write in your salary. Because I was going to start as an intern at the First Baptist Church in New Philadelphia. And I said, well, I left it blank for a good reason. I don't know what they're going to pay me, and they didn't tell me. And to which he said, really, Tom? That surprises me. Don't you think that's a little irresponsible? To which I said, I agree. I wish I knew. But what am I going to tell God? What if they told me how much they were going to pay and I was going to say, well, that's just not enough. Huh? And don't think I'm a hero, because I'm not, because I didn't want to come here and I didn't want to do this. And there are 100 times when I told you this Tuesday night, there's 100 times I told you you weren't going to get any more laughs today. There's 100 times when my wife saved you guys and from me being your pastor, or maybe it cursed you, maybe, I don't know. So I'm not a hero in this story. I just did what I was told. Sometimes I had a good attitude and sometimes I didn't, but I was all in. And he said, I guess that makes sense. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. I'm either called or I'm not. Again, I'm not a hero. I hope you don't leave here. And if you're a guest and you don't know me, church, you know that I'm not saying that to be bragging. You guys get that? It's just the reality of it. I am tenacious about it. Look, these thoughts have been on my heart for you all since we came up with this vision that we believe God had for us, and that was redeeming the time. And what are we going to do this year to prepare? Because the plan God gave us works, and we're going to continue to multiply by the grace of God, and everybody's going to have to be ready. So what kind of faith are you going to have? What are you going to do when you come to an Abraham moment? What are you going to do? What is God challenging you to do by faith? Keith, would you put this up? Now, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not just blind. It always has substance and is connected with evidence. But it's behind you after you made the right choices, or wrong, or the lack of. And so we come down to verse 6 and it says, but without what? It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, that he's real, his words are true. This is for real. This is no joke. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look what happened with Abraham. Look what happened. Yes, Lord. Again, yes, Lord. Look what happened. Look what can happen. I have this on the screen, James chapter 4, but why don't you turn to James and we'll finish right here. This is turning into not being the shortest message I've ever preached. James 4. And we'll be finished. Verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get grain. I have my own plans. This is of believers. I got my own plans. Verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what's your life? Life is short. Hey, it's not a bad thing to have your own plans, but watch the turn of faith that he makes here. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You better use your time wisely on this planet. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, look, you need your own plans. I get it. By faith, you do what God wants you to do. That's what you should do. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, due to the glory of God. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is what? It's evil. living for self, making your own choices outside of God's will for your life, outside of faith. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to doing good, meaning you don't violate your conscience, you live by faith in what God says. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin. Yeah. So, like I said, everybody here is faced with something. As we approach this new year and finish out this year, we've got to be ready for what next year brings. So what choices, what is God challenging you to do by faith? Because everybody here is affected. What is it? Salvation? Maybe you need to get saved today. Church membership, you saw some folks. Maybe you've been sitting on the fence on this. I'm not working you. Join a profitable local New Testament church. Church participation, being faithful in your attendance. Some of your attendance stinks. How is that right? Giving of your time, your talents, and your treasures. We need it. We need you to accomplish our mission. And everyone is important. Everyone. Maybe it's discipleship. Maybe you need to work to make a disciple. We've got a lot of folks, and look, I get maybe your world's small, maybe, but you could ask for help. We'll help you. We'll help you make a disciple. Maybe you need to be discipled. Maybe you need to be baptized. You're sitting on the fence on that. Or maybe evangelism or outreach to the lost. You're terrified about it all. Step out by faith. What could God do with you? He's going to get more glory out of somebody who's terrified and who doesn't want to do it at all. He'll get more glory out of that, out of somebody sick than somebody that's not. Because you need the physician. A sick one needs the physician. This is just a small list. Or how about your call? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Would you bow your heads, please?